This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Richer and the Mailman. As always, in all the legitimate ones at least, is your friendly mailman and mine. Well, not actually mine, but you get what I'm saying. Jeff Machado.
Hello, I don't work in New York City.
He does not, but he does work in Providence, which some people call Little New York.
Nobody calls it that.
I'm trying. It's much cleaner, but Jeff, I've got a bone to pick with you and your kind. More your kind than you, actually. Oh, actually, all your kind, not you. You're excluded from your kind.
Well, you got a problem with one mailman. You got a problem with all mailmen.
That's true. I was getting an Amazon delivery. You know how it always happens, and they were supposed to deliver it on a Sunday because we get Sunday delivery here with packages, parcels.
Yeah, you get Sunday delivery everywhere with Amazon.
I did not know that. Well, either way, so it got moved to Sunday, and I got an email telling me that they tried to deliver it, and I was like, "What the fuck?" I was here the entire time, and then I'm like, "Well, the guy must not have been able to get in. I assume that he just couldn't get into my front gate." You know, because there was like a security office and then like the actual buildings. So I like picked redeliver. I went to their website, used that, and then I selected to have it delivered the next day, gave explicit instructions to leave it with security if I'm not there. When I'm walking out to go to work, security guy's like, "Yo, man, that mailman, he was lazy." He's like, "He didn't even want to go in and try to deliver it. I told him you were probably home."
Wow.
And I was home both times. And actually one time I was like doing laundry, so it's possible we just missed like actually seeing each other in the front.
Well, what was his reason for not wanting to deliver it?
I have no idea. It wasn't like hard to get in that place. My little complex that I live in, like they take care of all the snow and slush and everything like that. I have no idea.
What did the security guy say that he said? This makes me furious.
I don't know what he said because I didn't really have time to get into like the entire conversation. But all I know is the security guy tried to tell him to he could we're probably home, and he just was like no.
Well, that makes me sick.
I know it should. It made me sick.
If you only knew the kinds of lengths that I went through for my customers to deliver all those packages.
I believe it. You're a good guy. You're a good mailman, Jeff. Good boy. Good boy.
I have dug holes in the snow and buried packages in the snow, and then I'll write up a note and say, "Walk 20 paces to your side door, under the bedroom window, dig 1 foot of snow, and there's a package there." And I leave that in the mail. That's what I do.
That's actually so elaborate that it's... that might be a whole nother fault. No. I say that, but then as soon as I say that, I'm like, no. Whoever is getting the notes is like, what an awesome mailman.
Pretty much the best there is.
Yeah, like, if there was a guy named Andy Flanagan, he would never compare.
No, He couldn't hack it.
No.
I used to think it was like they were all my brothers in the mail fleet, but it just goes back to the whole New York, New England thing. Like, nothing about New York is good.
Hush on that, man, because I got to tell you, after being here, I'm like, you know what it is? It's the exact same thing. Everyone here, you could just put them in New England, but change the accent slightly and change all like the teams, so essentially the colors, and it would basically be like, yep, I'm surrounded by the same people.
I don't know about that.
It's basically like Germany and France in World War One.
That's a good analogy.
I mean, they both sucked. They were fighting a stupid battle, and they were both calling each other evil. But, like, nobody knew how evil it could get yet. So.
No, it's good. I don't hear enough World War One.
Well, when you're trying to talk about Better Call Saul, the only reason why we're here, you know, you
the got... only reason why we're here? Better Call Saul? Who cares about Better Call Saul? Nobody cares about that show. Wait, is that what I was supposed to watch? Yeah. I thought this was an Oscars show.
Well, that was my next question, but we're going to save that to the end. So this is probably where I come in and I cue everyone and tell them, like, hey, if you're looking for the Oscar stuff, but you wanted to, but you didn't want to be spoiled about Better Call Saul, you should move to...
52 minutes and 12 seconds.
And that right there is a section I left for myself, so I can add that in later.
Okay.
You see what I'm doing? I'm making things easy.
No, that'll sound good, yeah.
And then I feel bad about the mailman because I'm like, I'm lazy. And I'm doing a shitty job.
So it was like a mail delivery karma.
Yeah. From the future. Yeah, wrap your mind around that. So anyway, so we are here to talk about Better Call Saul. I think we can fit this in a certain amount of time, and then we can get down to some crazy-ass fucking just... shooting the shit.
Crazy ass shooting the shit.
Yeah, is that a good phrase for that?
Nobody has ever used that phrase before.
Oh, inventing things all the time. That's me. Just call me Thomas Alva Edison. No, so as far as this episode goes, I think it was one of the more solid ones to date because, I mean, they're all really good, but I think that this is really where they're just kind of doing it now and they're not worrying about, like, the tone they're trying to set and all of that. Like, it felt like a Breaking Bad episode, whereas the other ones kind of felt like they weren't quite there yet. This felt like a typical middle-of-the-season Breaking Bad episode.
Yeah, it was very plot-driven.
Yeah.
Full foreshadowing prequel scenes going on.
But it was
not so much about exposition.
Yeah, exactly. We were moving forward, but at the same time, like, they were doing it in that way that, you know, that we're accustomed to so far with the show.
Right.
Anything strike you right off the bat?
Well, the thing that struck me about this episode was that Saul is kind of a badass, and it sort of makes, it's like when you watch mafia movies, and you wonder, like, I would never be in the mafia. I would never, like, carjack a truck filled with Armani suits for my own personal gain. But I'm so fascinated by the mafia. Why do I watch mafia shows? It kind of makes me feel like a loser. And it's the same thing with con men. Like, people are fascinated by con men. And, you know, Ocean's 11, I want to rob a casino. I want to steal $100 million.
Who wouldn't? Really?
But thieves are not cool people, but in movies and TV shows, they make them look cool. And this was kind of like Saul being Nicolas Cage and Matchstick Men. And then basically the whole time I was watching the show, I was like, who is better? Like, if there was a battle of wits between Saul and Nicolas Cage from Matchstick Men, who would win? I don't know, but I kind of like both of them.
But not totally.
Not totally. No, because, you know, that's not how you live your life. You want to be a lawyer, that's cool to be a lawyer, but, I mean, he's straight up engineering really elaborate cons to get money. It's kind of gross, actually.
It's totally gross, but we like it anyway, and we're rooting for him, which is, like, the key. And obviously, this is AMC, and it's also the age of the anti-hero. That's just what we're in at this point when it comes to television. So it's like you're both like, that's why we like them. They're doing the things that we can't do. Me and you can't do that. We can't rob a bank. First of all, it takes way too much work. And although you're a hardworking, caring mailman, as I just pointed out, you know, like, I would rather not do all that.
Does it take a lot of work, though? Isn't, like, that the secret to robbing a bank is that you got to keep it simple as possible? I always wanted to get a little kid to go into a bank and cry and say that they have to give him the money or they're going to, like, kill his family. And I'm just, like, waiting down the block. And the kid takes his bike and rides down the street. Well, gives me money. I give him, like, 10%, whatever. I say, good job, kid. I run away. How hard is that?
Well, that works really well as long as you kill the kid, because he's going to fucking point to your face. Like,
well, clearly. Obviously, I'm going to kill the kid.
Yeah. There's no way around it. You've got to go full on... damn it. What was his name?
Todd?
Full on Todd. You got to go the full re-Todd. I had to do it.
Terrible.
I know, right? But the pun was there, and I just heard it the other night when someone described Eddie Redmayne's Oscar win for Theory of Everything. He went the full retard.
Wait, why did he go the full retard?
Eddie Redmayne? Because he played Stephen Hawking, so he didn't really go the full retard. He went the full, like...
He went the full, the smartest man ever.
Yeah, but as depicted by drooling.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, at some point in that film, and the part where people's eyes were fucking pouring, like, stuff was pouring out of their eyes, just salt, saline, it was because he was just Stephen Hawking in the wheelchair, and there was the computer voice.
Mm.
You know? So, anyway, you gotta kill the kid.
Yeah.
This isn't about retards. This is about killing kids. And
let's keep it to a respectable subject, okay?
Yeah, yeah. No, but we're a little bit off, because it isn't just this isn't a robbing bank scenario. This is a con scenario. Robbing the bank scenario, you need to practice all the different things that could happen, and like as far, and you need to be like completely up on, like, you need to be ready to shoot people. You need to be all of those things. Being a con man is different. You actually just need to, you got to have the plan. You got to know it in your head, and then you just got to. Once you're in the moment, you just got to be cool. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like McConaughey in True Detective in that episode where he was undercover and with the amazing tracking shot. Like that episode where he was like in that. I don't want to spoil True Detective for people that might not have seen it, you know, but you know what I mean.
Episode 4.
Yes. Ugh.
If you're about to watch True Detective, just skip to episode 4 and watch the last
one. No way. That first episode was so good, and it was like one of the better like debut episodes. Where you, by the end of it, you're just like, "Yeah, I just want more. I want to." You're not asking the right fucking questions.
Yeah,
you know.
Also, if any listeners out there are asking themselves, "I wonder what the mailman's like in real life," well, all you gotta do is do two things: watch New Girl, and keep your eye on Nick Miller, and also watch True Detective. And when Matthew McConaughey gives a speech in the car about his theory of life. Because people keep telling me, oh my god, I watched that scene, I totally thought of you. So apparently that's what I've been reduced to. I've been reduced to two little minute characters on meaningless television shows.
Well, while I both agree with both those things that you said, all three of the things that you said, you are like those people, and also you've been reduced to that. And that happens to me, too. Except I do it. I'm like, I'm just like that person. But this is true. You are like both those people. At the same time, though, when you say something like that, you're basically going like, yeah, I'm brooding.
Yeah, I'm not. That's my problem. Like, I'm not brooding anymore.
You are. But you for a very long period of time were, I would say, like, the definition of brooding.
Oh, yeah, I brooded. I brooded like a champ.
Yeah, you brooded all over the place. And
I think my brood phase stage is over.
I think so, too. However, you would now forever be associated with brooding in most people's heads when they knew you in that state of mind.
It's possible. I think that a lot of people mistake brooding for railing, which is what I do. I rail. I don't brood.
You do rail. No,
it's more of a personal choice than a state of mind, you know what I mean?
Well, I've always thought of myself as a railer and you as a brooder.
Hmm, interesting.
Because I just go off, like, immediately. and you like you brood in it, and then you stew, and then you explode with anger.
Yeah,
I'm more like a there's a like a hot flash.
So you have nothing pent up. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I do have it there, but it comes up so quickly that I don't have time to brood.
You think you deal with
it like instantaneously? Taps that
is that
thing.
What you're saying?
Huh?
You deal with your pain in a more progressive manner than I do?
I don't think so, but
I see how it is.
Yeah.
You think you're better than me?
But you know who does think he's better than someone? Everyone thinks they're better than Saul or Jimmy McGill.
Yeah, poor Jimmy McGill.
Like every single, I felt so bad that this whole, and that's why we like him as the anti-hero. And that's why we just like, we want him to win at this point because everyone is kicking him down. Yet those people that are kicking him down, they fucking suck. And you're just like, fuck you, asshole. Fuck you, Kettleman. What's her name? Betsy Kettleman? Nancy Kettleman?
Betsy
Kettleman? Ugh. When she says the one line to him that you're immediate, I don't want to, well, I'll say the line, but like there's a lot to be said about the line. We could just go off on a tangent and I don't want to lose this thought. When she says the line about like, oh, you're the type of person that guilty people hire. They're just like, fuck you, bitch, you're guilty.
Yeah.
And he makes his plea about passion, you know, like I'll be there. And you're like, yeah. Can't you see that? Can't you see that the man is passionate about getting your business and defending your lying, stealing ass? Like, you should be so fucking grateful that this guy is, like, doing all this and only asking for what he's doing because Nacho would be fucking killing you.
Nacho would be killing that bitch.
Ugh.
And that one scene is the reason why I can never be a writer. Because I cannot project feelings of people who aren't me onto my characters. So as myself, as Saul, I would just be like, well, instead I'm just gonna get you both arrested because you're so
exactly
you're so evil and stupid.
No, but Saul won't do that, but because
he
he's
takes
also
the money because it's the smart thing to do. So
it's a smart thing to do, and he's like, he already doesn't, he's a thief. Which is, like, I think I talked about last week. Not entirely sure. But, you know, like, that's the thing about the show is everyone here is kind of, no one's innocent at all. Everyone's doing out to turn on someone else or to get over. So, but that's why you hate it, because you hate those people's personalities. Saul's personality you love. And you hate Betsy Kettleman. You hate Hamlin. Like, you hate the fucking dude who's filming his, like, his con advertisement turn event that turns him into the titular word of the episode there.
You like that word, titular.
I love titular. First, it's got tit in it. That's immediately...
Yeah, it starts off on a good note.
It starts off in a great note, and I'm like, tits? And then I'm like, oh. Oh, we're talking about titular things. And then also there's that that Upright Citizens Brigade sketch about the titular line in a movie, which I've always loved. And every time I hear the titular line of a movie, I instantly go like, I go, who had the titular line of that movie?
Yes, and I can vouch for you because we once saw our good friend Mark Mazenga's play.
Yes.
In a very, very small theater space. With a very, very small audience where we were basically right on top of the actors, and there were only two actors in the entire play.
There was three.
Three actors. I forgot about that other guy.
Yeah.
Anyway, the line comes, and I was like, oh my God, that's the titular line.
Yeah.
Josh is going to freak out. And you did. And we almost ruined the whole thing.
We almost ruined it, but luckily the actors did that, so.
Yeah, the actors made it bad. What is up with that guy? I mean, if you're going to be like a flaming
Jeff, they don't know about these actors. They can't see them. We don't got time to get into it. That's only me and you, bud.
I just wanted to make one comment about how I saw a play with a flaming gay frail man trying to portray a quintessential, like, robust heterosexual guy from the 50s. Family
50s guy, yeah.
And it didn't make any sense because he's so clearly, like, almost a woman. He's like, well, going through he's like taking the injections and everything.
No, the issue is that he couldn't be that guy truthfully. Like, and that's because he was a bad actor.
Yes, well, yeah.
He just couldn't fucking be the guy that, like, he had to be in that play.
He couldn't. No. So then I was trying to think, are there any, like, frail gay actors who could pull that off? Maybe it's just his look.
Yeah, there certainly are. No, he needed to have bigger presence, which he didn't have.
He had no presence.
Like, he tried to, but it, like, just seemed like... But, again, we've gone on far too far about this guy that none of these people are familiar with.
But that's not my fault. You got to rein myself in.
I tried. All right, note to self. Get a buzzer.
That was an interesting take. People might not have any idea what I'm talking about, but they feel me.
I do. They're feeling. Unlike us with that guy's acting performance.
It would be like, imagine. Like,
okay. I wish I could remember his name so I could just sully it across the internet right now.
Let me bring it around to the show, okay? Imagine Mike Ehrmantraut played by, like, Boy George. You think Boy George could play Mike Ehrmantraut?
No, I think it's a little bit further down. It was more like it felt like they were trying to be, like, he wanted to be like a Don Draper or someone of, like, a manliness in that time. Not like an Ehrmantraut, more, because that guy was, like, he was a little bit more brooding.
I just totally got you to talk about it for, like, another 2 minutes.
I know, because I'm a sucker, and I love to talk, and I love to talk about anything.
Ben Jolly. We will talk about Mark Mazinga's play.
Well, we will, and we did. And I think we got our point across. So Mark Mazinga is a great playwright, but that one actor in that play, which if Mark could tweet that at us and actually get a... If he could get a Twitter account and tweet that at us and destroy that actor's career with us, join us in that, that would be great. If not, he's dead to me, but I, whatever. Get him back to what we're talking about.
Which was the Oscars.
Which was the Oscars. But
fantasy hockey. Are we talking about fantasy hockey?
We haven't gotten there yet.
Okay.
You'll get your time. Fantasy hockey night in America.
I rolled all my chips on David Krejci and now I'm screwed.
I'm sorry to hear that. You shouldn't put all your chips on anyone.
I needed a first line center.
Well, I'm sorry that you play fantasy hockey. Anyway, so we're getting back to the life of Saul, and we're getting back to all these people, and we're talking about titular lines, and we're talking about the moment where Saul gets that titular line and what got him there and why we loved it. Because we loved it because we watched from the... All this time about him being good, but also kind of... Like, we love him already, and then we're kind of in it at that point where we're, like, dedicated to Saul. We like his personality, which none of those other people have, who are out to get him. And it just sets Saul up as just the guy you want to root for and how you want everyone to go down. But then I go, why? Why am I rooting for Saul? Why am I rooting for a lawyer?
That's a good question. But why is he a lawyer?
Because he's a fucking con man, and lawyers are shitty people deep down in their very core.
No, but that's not why Saul is a lawyer. Saul didn't start out a lawyer. He started out a con man.
Because he was a shitty person to begin with.
Well, we're not... There are a lot... Tens of stories about people who are quote-unquote shitty. We don't watch shows because...
It's true.
Main character comes from a good moral background. My point is, he's only a lawyer because of his brother.
That's true. His brother
bailed him out, and, you know, he got him an opportunity, and he's like, he wants to please his brother.
And he's going to disappoint him in the end. We all know. His brother's going to die very disappointed by Jimmy McGill / Saul Goodman.
By the way, that never occurred to me all my years watching Breaking Bad that Saul Goodman...
What? Like, what?
Saul Good. Man.
Did you ever see the memes? The memes? The memes?
No, I did not see the
memes. The memes?
I just thought he picked like a Jewish sounding name because that's what lawyers do.
That was a smart... I think that was a part of it, but I think also... I think also it's like, it's all good, man. I'm very sad about that. That's like... I'm sad that you didn't see it.
There, that's the thing with me where people, there's a lot of things that have happened that are immediately obvious that take me years and years, like way too long to realize. Like the Beatles, I just thought they spelled it with an A because they were like fun, hippie assholes. And I was like, oh, the Beatles, like a beat, because they make music. I was like 30 when I figured that out. Just very slow.
Well, it was both, though. It was both. That's the point of their name.
What was both? What does that even mean?
Well, it's like the beat, but it's also like the animal.
Right. That's my point.
Yes. But the fact, again, you didn't get the... See, do you, when you hear... when you, so you like words. That's what I'm kind of confused about. So when you like see something like that, you don't immediately try to think of all the different ways it can mean?
Well, I should, but I don't. I was just a kid. I was like, oh, the Beatles with an A. Good for them.
Ah, gotcha.
You would think... I actually kind of hate words. You know why? Because I use them so often they get me in trouble. I kind of wish, and I hate like 99% of all the other people in the world, including you, listener.
Of course.
So I kind of just wish if I could trade my ability to speak with anyone else's ability to speak, sometimes I would just vote for silence. I feel like I'd be a lot happier.
You can do that, you know.
No, I can't. I have to go out into the world and I have to hear people speak.
No, you can just be, you can pull a full-on Chuck. Get your space blanket, tell everyone you got electromagnetic sensitivity or hypermagnetic sensitivity or whatever
it is. I don't have a brother who's going to support me. And also, what's the deal with Chuck? Is he, like, insane?
The jury's out on that one. There's two schools of thoughts, as we explained last week. One is that he has that electromagnetic sensitivity, which is why he was freaking out, because the electric lines were giving him, like, he was, like, feeling the actual, like, pulsing from those lines. You know, and the other one was that he's crazy and he's only imagining that. Right. No, they haven't revealed it yet, but in due time, sir.
Yeah, it makes me uncomfortable.
Now, Saul is a great talker, and we know that. He has said many things, that great lines, and he's got a way of doing it. I don't know where I'm going with that, other than the fact that I love to hear that man talk.
Well, Saul's a great talker, so my point is... Are we going to talk about a speech?
No. Just looking through, trying to figure out what's... where do we turn here, Jeffrey? Where do we turn here in this analysis?
I don't know. I'm not the turner. You're the turner. I'm the turnee.
That's a good point. I got to know my role. So I guess where we can go is basically, so his cons... Did you see him coming?
No.
Do you feel stupid not seeing them coming?
Yes, I do.
I know.
I'm stupid, but that's why they work, because people are all the same. Because
we're all so stupid.
There's no reason for a guy to be lying in an alley passed out if he wasn't actually lying in an alley passed out.
But he's fat, so we assume that he, like... He ate too much and drank too much, and now he's like a turtle on his back.
Yeah, well, that's kind of mean to all the fat people out there.
More likely
to end up passed out in an alley than escape.
That's the point of the con. They're playing into this person that he's pulling the cons on, like their assumptions. They're pulling into the already... They're making him think that he's in control and he knows what's going on by putting these different like things in there to just make him assume, oh, yeah, this and this and this. Just make those assumptions.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was... I don't mind little things like that. I don't mind being tricked in that way. But the one at the big con at the end, I was kind of... Then I felt really stupid. Because... And then Hamlin's watching the thing on TV.
And you're, like, yelling at Hamlin, like, fuck you, buddy. It's not a con.
No, but by then you know it's a con. You're like, oh, that's why he got the same suit. That's why he put the billboard up. You know, the whole thing is not only a stunt on from the videotaping, it's a stunt from the very beginning.
Yes.
So how could he not know that, but we know that? Like, do you really think that that guy would be that stupid to be like, oh, he's wearing my same suit and he's putting up a billboard and I want to go to a judge? Like, he should know before this happens that it's going to happen. You know what I'm saying?
But he's not as smart. And that's the key. That's the key that that Saul makes when he's talking to Mike, is basically like, he, you know, you thought criminal, what is it about, like, criminals about not being too smart?
Yeah, you think they'd be smarter, but...
Yeah, it's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And that's why they find each other, Mike and Saul, is because they're the two smartest guys. And that's why pretty much all those people, and that's what you realize, is that all those people end up in Breaking Bad because they're all the smart ones.
Mm. Not so smart, though. Didn't work out so good for pretty much 100% of the characters in Breaking Bad.
Well, I mean, they were also literally trying to kill each other.
Yeah.
You know, that... Things are your stats go way down.
I guess that begs the question: is it the crime that gets you killed, or is it being stupid? Maybe the meth is just that bad.
It's being involved in crime that gets you killed. Just generally being involved in crime will definitely increase your chances of being killed.
There's got to be some really smart, successful criminals out there who have never gotten any shit.
There's totally some, but they're exceptions to the rule.
I want to watch a show about those guys.
Oh.
I thought Gus was going to be that guy, and then he goes and gets blown up. That's kind of sad. I was kind of hoping Gus would win that battle.
No, that would have been a shitty show. That would have just ended there. It just
Not there. It could have ended whenever the show ended.
Oh, so the show that ends and Gus wins. That would have been like two more seasons of Gus. No, you're crazy.
Whatever.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're gonna take a quick break. We're gonna come back. We're gonna get into the a few more things about the Better Call Saul saga that's before us, and then we'll just kind of go through a bit of a lightning round that Jeff is unaware of, but I just made up right now, so it should work out pretty well.
I like lightning.
Yeah. And I like the thunder, so.
I like Ron Dane and the other guy.
Oh, wait. Oh, we're talking about hockey again? Oh,
Tiki
God.
Barber.
God.
Football.
Oh, I see I'm off there, too. I'm just not cut out for this sports stuff.
Why are we right. on?
So we'll be right back.
We don't watch sports. We don't watch wrestling. We're completely useless.
They're the only place that will host us.
So
we'll be right back after we tell you about a bunch of stuff that you should listen to and read about and which you should. So.
Break down.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation. PlaceToBeNation.com, The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope.
This is the king of old school, Steve Corino, and you've heard all the rumors, and it's true. The Steve Corino Show is here. We talk about wrestling. We talk about baseball, movies, television, anything you want to talk about. New guest every week. That's right. The Steve Corino Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials run and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on PlaceToBeNation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Greetings, friends. Ben Morse from PlaceToBeNation's Main Event here. Tired of other podcasts constantly stuck in the past? Every other week, we give you a roundtable discussion of what's happening in wrestling today. Place to Be Nation's Main Event. We're holding everybody else down.
Looking for something different in your pro wrestling podcasts? Look no further than the Pro Wrestling Super Show. Join me, Stephen Graham, every week as I'm joined by a rotating door of guests as we discuss a single topic each show, ranging from ECW pay-per-view reviews, wrestler snapshots, top six lists, and anything else you can think of. That's the Pro Wrestling Super Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, this sounds terrible. The Titans of Wrestling... Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans of Wrestling are...
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for the show. I break down matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Bob. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of Wrestling.
You know you want to hear it.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week, join Marcus Vandenberg and myself for the world's most dangerous sports show and the program that's changing the game one show at a time, the Kings of Sport Podcast. Available exclusively on PlaceToBeNation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
Hey, sports fans, this is Dr. G for Extra Point, Place to Be Nation's traditional sports talk podcast. Every episode, Scott Criscullo and I talk everything from the Big Four leagues to all the hot sports news with exclusive guests and analysts. Email us your comments and questions at extrapoint@placetobenation.com. That's the Extra Point, exclusively on placetobenation.com.
Hey, sports fans, Cowboy here. Make sure you make your weekly stop by the Sports Lounge here on placetobenation.com, where the boys and I tackle all the hot topics in the world of sports. We go behind the numbers and provide in-depth expert analysis on Major League Baseball, MMA, NFL, and more. The seats fill up quick, so grab your favorite cigar, kick back, and join us in the Sports Lounge, only on PlaceToBeNation.com.
In Rhode Island, and looking for great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick, with over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers. In a fully stocked bar, Bonehead's has something for everyone. Boneheads also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So, be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast, exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
What's up, wrestling fans? This is Jeff Peck, and you can check out my wrestling podcast, The Still Real to Us Show, every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com. It is a wrestling podcast from a fan's perspective, and we're not doing it in our mom's basement. So check it out every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Also, be sure to check out our friends at thehistoryofwwe.com, prowrestlingonly.com, Scott Keith blog at rspwfaq.net, and piledriverwrestling.net.
Jeff, what did you do during the break?
Well, I took a drive upstate, and I saw some of the foliage up there.
I
was just thinking about a lot of the stuff you said in the first half of the show, and I was like, well, when we come out of break, I really want my mind to be clear. So, you know, my dad has like a cabin in New Hampshire. Sat up there for a little while. And, yeah, I did a lot of drinking. How about you?
First of all, that's fascinating. I actually pooped out a lemon seed.
I'm not going to say I don't want to know how you know that.
Well, I'll tell you how. So I went to go wipe, and it was actually like still like stuck to my butt.
Why would you ingest a lemon seed?
It was accidental.
Hmm.
So in case anybody's wondering,
that's it. I would assume that a seed would be something
my like asshole this. Is puckered now. Anyway.
Well, it smells good anyway.
lemon fresh. No, that really did happen. But everything you said, where is... That's pretty nice. I also know someone that has a cabin up in that part of New Hampshire. What town?
Winnipesaukee.
Winnipesaukee, nice. Where in Keenan Green?
What?
Yeah.
Why did it take you so long to say that word?
I don't know. Because I was making it up.
Keenan Green. Keenan Green, New Hampshire is my favorite spot to visit when I'm on break from a podcast.
For 5 minutes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so a couple things more about the old Saul Sitch.
The Saul Sitch.
Yeah.
We should rename our podcast. Richard the Mailman is old. The Saul Sitch. I like that.
Well, the official name now that I've been going with is for the one time that we actually, the episode we did was Richard and the Railman do Better Call Saul. I mean, it's got like an 80s vibe, you know.
I feel like we could really get some jumping off points with like a really good name, because the big problem we had with the Breaking Bad podcast was that there were about 5 to 6 million Breaking Bad podcasts, even though you and I both know that we had the best one. But how many Better Call Saul podcasts can there possibly be? Everybody's given up. Nobody has the patience to wait out a guy's second show, a spinoff.
I'd say like half. And
so like 300 million?
Well, I didn't know of a lot of Breaking Bad podcasts. There weren't that many. There were some on YouTube, people doing reviews. But so there might be like zero now, including ours.
All right, well, we have a responsibility then.
We have to bring it.
We have to do the best Better Call Saul analysis in the country, and then also help people.
Well, we got to give them mailman tips. We got to like install their storm windows. You know,
I'm gonna give my mailman tip early. I know this is unconventional. I usually save it for the end of the show, but here's my mailman tip of the week. To everybody out there,
try to deliver it.
Stop sending mail.
I already have. I make other people send mail to me because I'm a selfish asshole who is obsessed with getting mail. But
yeah, I'm serious. Let's just nip it in the bud. It'll force me to get another job. It's useless.
But then I'd have to get another mailman.
No, you don't need mail is the point. We don't need paper.
Oh, I'd have to get another mailman on the show.
Oh, true.
I'd have to, like, I don't know, like, I'd have to, if you got another job, what would we do?
You could change the name of the show. It could be Richer and the Sales Associate.
Oh. That's got, like, a fun vibe to it.
Yeah. Richer and the Waste Management Specialist.
I see your trajectory that you're envisioning for yourself, and I'm going to tell you, I need you to look higher.
Richer and the heavy hitter Rob Levine, paralegal.
Yes, great. We now... it's great when we just mention that's a lawyer in our area, which we encourage you to please go watch his videos, and then also, or in your area now, I guess that's weird to say, in the area where we grew up in, and where like Rhode Island, this guy like essentially he just has the worst commercials. He's the lawyer who has a jingle.
He's that guy. And
yeah.
Apparently, that's the worst type of guy. He's like the Saul of Rhode Island.
Yeah, but like without the like that there. Weird swagger. Like yeah, he's got a, he's like a dick. You see that? This guy's a dick in like a douche way. Mm. So what do you see though? Walter and Saul, they're both on pretty much the same trajectory. They're going to lose their integrity. They are going to, you know, they're becoming someone, and they're making a name, and they're making bold statements to do it. Right. Do you see that?
Yeah.
Do you think Gilligan's trying to like make a point about showing like the parallel between them, the two of them? Like, do you think there's a point to it, or do you think that he's just like getting lazy?
No, I don't think there's necessarily a parallel between them, and I don't think he's getting lazy. I just think that that is what Vince Gilligan views as an interesting character. Somebody that starts off with a respectable goal and a talent, and they want to cultivate it, and because of all the things that happen around them, they're given the choice to either succumb to the things that would make them bow down and not go where they want to, or to subvert them and just say fuck the rules and end up wherever they end up, probably somewhere dangerous. And I think that's what he thinks are these two characters have decided. Obviously, I mean, what, it's not interesting to have someone just go, yeah, well, it's not going my way, so I guess I'll just let it happen and be a miserable, pathetic high school teacher for the rest of my life. Or, yeah, okay, I'll just practice law in a closet at a foot bathing pedicure place for pennies. No, you want to see the people go, you know what, fuck you, I'm gonna do what I gotta do. And maybe they could have gotten away with it, maybe they could have been really successful, maybe Walter White could have been the leader of a cartel or been like adored by a populace of people that really didn't care about the legality of crystal meth because they just respected his chemistry skills. And maybe Saul Goodman could have been like the Johnny Cochran of his era, but obviously they just don't turn out that way because Vince Gilligan is a writer, and writers are all depressing pricks who thinks that the worst things possible are going to happen, and they always do. So why are we watching the show when we already know what's going to happen to Saul?
That's the second time when we've asked that question.
I'm going to ask that question every single episode of this podcast because I am so compelled to watch the show, and I don't know why. And the reason is because Vince Gilligan knows something that I don't know, and he's much smarter than me. And one day I'm going to wake up and I go, oh, that's why I watched this show. That's why Saul Goodman was such an interesting character. I don't know right now. And I don't know why I liked Walter White, but I did, and I do. And yeah, they're pretty much on the same arc. But I don't think it's laziness. I think if you had asked me in season 3 of Breaking Bad, do you think that when this show's over, that they could pull off a spinoff of Saul as the main character? I'd say, fuck no. What are you kidding me? Even when this show was coming out, I was like, I don't understand how they're going to do this. Like, what are they going to, like, how is Saul going to be the main character in the show? But they've already gotten so many different subplots, and they've just, like, taken the foreshadowing and the flashbacking and everything, and they're making it work so far. And it's very impressive. I'm impressed.
No, I agree. I am impressed. And I like, and we do kid about the show. We're watching it because it is fun, obviously. And it is really interesting. And I do think he is saying something about people who start to make, about choices, people that start to make choices, and make choices based on their experience and their egos and all of those things. And, you know, that once you start going there and you start getting some of that, if you're the type of person like Saul, who was bad before he was good, when he was kind of like, you kind of got the feel like he was shitty, like shyster, and then Chuck kind of turned him into like a hardworking lawyer, and then it, you know, obviously he's going back to that. you can have that, but then you can also be like the Walter White, who wasn't always bad, but then got turned bad because shit kept happening to him. Almost like Walter White was almost like Michael Douglas in Falling Down. It was almost like, I'm not gonna sit here and take it anymore. I'm a man, you know? Like, he went on that. Like, that became his driving force, but it started guiding his choices. So all his choices are only money and from the get-go, and it guides him back. It's like he was, like, only cared about money, became a kind of, like, maybe a hard-working lawyer, and then, like, now he's getting just drawn to, like, that side where it's just he knows that he's just going to be dealing with crappier and crappier people.
Well, it's not necessarily money. It's more a success. Like, he wants to be a revered public figure. He wants to be a successful lawyer. I don't think he just wants to make a ton of money.
I think he wants to make a ton of money. You don't end up as Saul Goodman, who is not a revered public figure. He's a public figure, but he's not a revered one. Without, like, you know, wanting it to be about the money. Because it involves, like, doing anything for the money.
Yeah, but if he just wanted the money, then why didn't he just steal all of Walt's money?
Because then Walt would kill him.
But if you have a lot of money, then you can go away without people finding you.
No, because he knows that that's not how it's going to work. Although he did have the cleaner.
Yeah, he runs away anyway.
He wanted the money and the face. He wanted to be the face. He wanted people to know him.
It's right. True.
No, he wanted that, but the money, I think, was driving.
Agree, disagree.
Okay, we can do that. Yeah, and I do like also how kind of like they both started to take on these characters in like visual. Like him seeing the orange shirt was almost like Walt like trying the hat for the first time when he thinks that's who he has to be, or the, you know, or shaving his head.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, all right.
It's like, oh, he likes the orange shirt. He likes the Heisenberg hat.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of cute.
I loved it. So, Jeff, speaking of heroes.
Where are we?
The titular line of the episode that we're discussing.
Titular.
The Oscars happened last night.
Oh, my God, they did.
They did. And you know what? A hero didn't. A person who played a hero did not win Best Actor.
Who won Best Actor?
Well, we talked about it earlier in the episode, 35 minutes ago.
Oh, yeah, Stephen Hawking.
Yeah.
So you're saying that Stephen Hawking isn't a hero?
But he is. Well, kind of.
What do you mean, kind of?
Well, he came up with a theory about wormholes, and he was, like, adamant to it for a long time, or black holes or something, and then he was disproven. Also, he divorced his wife, who stood by him the entire time of his illness, and got with a wicked young, like a much younger woman.
Yeah, because she beat him.
Oh, she beat him?
She beat him and abused him for years.
No.
Stole a bunch of his money.
No.
Yes. Stephen Hawking's ex-wife was a total bitch. This is like public knowledge.
If I look up total bitch Mrs. Hawking's, I'm going to get that?
Yes, look up Stephen Hawking's bitch wife. You'll get like a shit ton of stories. Anyway, who was supposed to win? Was it
Michael Keaton? It was going to be Michael Keaton in Birdman, which is another hero.
You know why he lost?
Why?
Because that guy who won is British, and Brits are taking over everything.
That's true. That,
like, every big band right now is British. Every big show, every big actor, it's British. Like, singers, what the hell? It's like they're going to... The American Revolution is happening in reverse.
What I'm saying when I put in Stephen Hawking's bitch wife is the second one is Stephen Hawking is a misogynist. That's the title of the article. And then the one after that is the theory of everything was far too kind to Stephen Hawking's.
Far too kind to Stephen. The guy has not had the ability to move for 50 years and he's still like thinking and helping physics and philosophy. Like, what do people want from a person? You can get ALS. Most people get ALS, and you know what they do? They go home in a bedroom and they cry until they die. And they say, please, God, let me die. And not this guy. No. He's not only not crying and wishing for death, he's changing the world, and people are upset because he got a divorce. I mean, what kind of fucking backwards-ass world do we live in? Look, I don't know for a fact that his ex-wife abused him, no. But I'm pretty sure it's true. So I'm going to find you some stuff.
I'm looking right now, and what I'm seeing is the abuse they're saying is like, you know, like... Oh, okay. So he had not one unexplained bruise.
Exactly.
But he had a fractured wrist, a split lip, a broken femur. You're right.
My case.
He abused her, but he also cheated on her with his... I don't know how that worked, but...
How could he... Someone probably raped him.
Did his penis work?
I think his penis works, yeah.
Then nobody raped him.
Well, come on. I mean, if you're sitting in a chair and somebody's like, hey, Stephen Hawking, I'm this young floozy. I would like to sleep with you and perhaps be impregnated by you so I have financial security forever. Let me just, like, unzip your pants. Are you really expected to not get aroused?
Well, I usually am, but that's because Stephen Hawking is kind of the thing that I'm into.
I know what you're saying. You're asking me, Jeff, are you saying that if you have ALS, you're absolved from cheating? And my answer is yes.
No, I was going to say you're automatically assuming that the wife was a gold-digging bitch that...
Oh, don't...
was a young, like... Ricky Bobby's wife. And
why else would you seduce and sleep with a guy confined to that kind of physical existence?
Because he's the smartest man in the world and he has the theory of everything.
Yeah, he also says that we can't travel in time into the past. And I think he's wrong about that.
I mean, I agree with you. I think we can.
It's like, oh, only the future only. All right, so we can only time travel into the future. Who would want to do that? That means you can't come back. You don't want to go to the future and not be able to come back. Then you're stuck there and you miss everything.
Well, that's what the guy did. The guy in the time machine? He just went to the end.
No, he came back.
No, he at the end he just went.
Yeah, because, well, he went too far ahead and he got really depressed by the crap he saw, but he still came back and he said, I was there. It was sort of like our town. It's like, you know, I've seen how it is. I don't want to be here now because now sucks.
That's a good way to put that. Well, either way, I agree. We got to save Stephen Hawking from his bitch ex-wife. She might still be out to get him. I don't know. I hope he has a restraining order.
I don't know. If I was Stephen Hawking's ex-wife, I would not abuse him. You know why? Because he's handicapped. I don't care how misogynist he is. They make a movie about this guy, and everybody complains because he's with a younger woman. Don't we just give people passes for that? Like Woody Allen? Woody Allen has a pass. Woody Allen's still making movies, for God's sake.
That's actually a really good point.
He's married to his daughter.
Some here lost in this mess of, like, your possible misogyny and us, like, just, like, just having no knowledge about Stephen Hawking's, like, whether or not his penis works or all of these things that we're just, like, asserting. Like, just going blindly. Half of it. That's very true. Why do we... I guess Woody Allen doesn't get a pass because people still take to him, like, all the time and, like, just rail against Woody Allen.
Not everybody, just, like, women.
But not everyone, but a lot of people.
All right, let me ask you this. Did you see The Theory of Everything, and did you see Birdman?
I saw Birdman. I did not see The Theory of Everything.
Did you see Boyhood?
I didn't. That was the same night I wanted to watch Birdman and Boyhood, but my totally legal way of watching movies was being kind of unreliable, and it was down for a little while, so kind of...
So which one won? Best Picture.
Birdman
won Best Picture.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was great.
That's good, because I really don't want the other one to win.
Boyhood?
Right.
Yeah, because it was all about the way that it was done.
Yeah, it was like a Lifetime Achievement Award.
Yeah.
It was like, no, that's not no. Yeah. That's not what the Oscar for Best Picture is.
No, I urge you to see Birdman because it was just shot really well. You know,
I want to see it, but I don't want to see it for one reason mainly.
Why?
Is that Ed Norton is in it?
Oh, Ed Norton was great in it though. Ed Norton was great in it.
He wasn't because he can't be because he's terrible.
No, no, no. This was one of those like.
I think Ed Norton is like the Julia Roberts of guys, where people say that she's great, but she's not because she's terrible. And I'm like, it's like this joke that's being played on me where people think that somebody is good.
Well, not everyone was good. Not everyone was great in the movie. Everyone was like pretty good, but not great. You know, actually, Michael Keaton was like, he kind of was great. Part of it being like it's the best performance that, you know, anyone's gotten out of him in quite some time, you know.
But yeah, how is he about to win an Oscar when he was in Out of Sight starring Jennifer Lopez and George Clooney, directed by Steven Soderbergh, for like 5 minutes? He was playing like J-Lo's Mister. Is that a word?
I mean, but that, like, then again, Sean Penn's been in some shitty things, like, and then has won Oscars after. Oh yeah.
Well, Sean Penn is also terrible.
You're insane.
What did he win the Oscar for? Milk or I Am Sam or both?
I'm not sure about I Am Sam, actually. I think he might have, which is, you know, the full-on retard factor. But he didn't go full-on, so.
No, he went full-on retard.
He did not go full-on.
I thought he was full-on retard.
No. I know he won for another one. I want to say it was Mystic River.
Wow, that movie sucked.
Oh, that's crazy.
That movie was so stupid.
Love that movie. Well, he did win for Milk, too. But he's won three, and I think the other one was I Am Sam.
Tim Robbins, he's another person who I absolutely hate.
Wow.
Can we talk about anything that I like?
Okay, well...
Here's what was funny about the Oscars, right? I started throwing an Oscar party...
Yes.
10, 15 years ago.
I'm going to bring this up. I'm glad you are.
And I was like, you know, I was big into movies. I'd watch all the movies. And I'm also obsessed with award shows. So I could never get anybody to come over to my house and watch the show with me. So in order to get people to come over to watch the Oscars with me, I came up with a Oscar party concept, which apparently is now very popular. I like to credit myself. So you print out ballots. Everybody picks the winners, and whoever gets the most wins a prize. And I would make it, like, pretty legit. I would get really good prizes, either, you know, cash prizes or expensive booze. 1 year I got an iPod Shuffle for the winner. Anyway, over the course of many years, I started...
An iPod Shuffle, everyone, when they were totally...
When they were cool.
The sweetest prize ever.
Why do you have to make fun of my prizes?
No, it was awesome at the time, but as time goes on, if you say, yeah, and then I put an iPod Shuffle in there, people will be like...
Josh, do you think anybody listening right now, songs? Do you think anybody listening right now is younger than 35 years old? Because you're wrong if you do.
That's true. Well, I imagine two of them are at least 34.
And they would totally love an iPod Shuffle to this day. Anyway.
I would not, but I'm one of them.
The point is, I started to... hate movies.
Yes.
So, and then I started to hate the Oscars because all the people in movies that I hated would win. And then the friends that I invited over to the Oscar party discovered a very big secret, which isn't so secret anymore, which is that everybody already knows who's going to win.
Yes.
All you have to do is Google Las Vegas odds or
yes
predictions, and you'll find out who is. There are 24 categories. And if you pick all the favorites of the 24, you're going to get anywhere between 15 and 20 right.
Yes.
Everybody already knows who's going to win.
Yeah.
So these people would come to my house, and me and my sister would put on these parties, and they would just pick all the fucking favorites and win all the prizes because they suck and they only care about winning. And they totally sapped and ruined and degraded. How do you say that word?
Now you've got me not being able to say
degraded.
Like, once you actually go, it's like, what's up? Degraded.
The spirit of the Oscar party.
You wanted to say denigrated, too.
Denigrated.
Yeah.
That worked.
I think you kind of threw them together. But either way, it was a mashup. Moving on to, so they did that to your Oscar party. I did. Guilty as charged. The two years I placed in the top three. One of the years came down to rock, paper, scissors, with me losing and getting second place. And the downgrade was, no, it was actually, I think about it, and I got more use out of the one that I got, because the top prize was alcohol, and I would have just drank that. But instead, I got like a gift card to Starbucks, and then a travel mug that was awesome because it seals itself. It gets a whole seal, so you can actually like put it in your bag, and it never opens. And it like it's like super awesome and thermal. And then also a bunch of K cups that I gave away to you and your sister. So
yeah, well, you're making my point. My Oscar party is awesome.
It was awesome, and I ruined it. I'm sorry.
But you're supposed to vote for what you want to win. Is the point?
Well, I did. I actually, and I think that works. And when picking Oscar picks, if you're doing this sort of thing, you gotta kind of, there are always those times, just like in, like when you're dealing with March Madness, where it's gonna come down to who got the consistent amount right, but then also took the right chances when they like veered from the consensus. That's really what it was about.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm saying this as if I won, but that's how I play second.
Anyway, we had the party yesterday. My sister took the reins of it because I've absolved myself of the Oscar party. I'm like, I don't want the Oscar party anymore. I don't watch movies. I hate all the actors. They're all a bunch of morons. So my sister threw it, and she did a great job. And
congrats to Allison, Michelle.
Surprise, surprise, surprise. The same fucking people won again.
Ah!
And I just got mad all over again, and I just basically spent
did
the
they go
entire
1-2
night.
Did they go 1-2?
Yes.
Oh wow.
Yes.
Wow.
It was a bit of a wrinkle this year. We had a winner take all type situation. Everyone just put in $5 and the winner took all the money.
Well, I'm glad you're getting money this time to buy the things, because that was getting ridiculous.
Yeah,
frankly, you were outspending.
Yeah, I just basically spent the whole night yelling at the screen, being like, wow, that guy sucks and that guy sucks. And Boyhood, I watched 5 minutes of it. My sister was watching it, and I came home, and I was it was terrible. Terrible. The kid, the main star kid, first of all, he's ugly. How are you going to invest in a kid to grow up over 12 years? That's... You just can't do that in Hollywood. The odds of him being attractive are just like...
Well, it doesn't have to be attractive. That's a movie.
That's... People in movies are attractive. That's what movies are for. And so you can fantasize about a world where everybody's attractive.
That's a good point. That's what I do.
And now all of a sudden, Patricia Arquette, the star of Stigmata in Medium on NBC... is an Oscar winner? Get the fuck out of here, man.
It's true. And she's not only an Oscar winner, she's got something to say.
Oh, yeah, equal pay for women. Because that's what the people who are watching the show, which, by the way, I want to dedicate myself to winning an Oscar. Writing a movie, acting, directing, some way, winning an Oscar, just so I can get up there and teach the world how to give a speech. Just so I can get up there and say, I hate movies. I hate the movie that I wrote. I hate everybody who was in it. I thank nobody. I think you're all a bunch of retards. The only reason I dedicated myself to get up here right now is to say that you're all fucking morons. Nobody cares about the stupid political cause you have to say. Nobody cares about all the people you have to thank. If you want to thank somebody, send them a gift basket or go to their house later after the show or in the upcoming weeks, and give them a prize. But nobody wants to hear any of the stupid shit you have to say. Say something clever, be respectful, say, like, thank you to the Academy, and then get the fuck out of my face. This is a show. People are watching it. It's not about you. It's not about you and your stupid movie that you made that really sucked. Nobody cares about equal pay for women and men. You want equal pay? Say, I'm not going to do this movie unless you pay me this much money. That's how it fucking works.
Well, I don't think she was talking about herself. I think she was talking about, you know, like the rest of the world.
The rest of the world who also have brains and the ability to not take a job for a certain amount of money.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, there is the idea of two people making this different amounts of money for doing the same job.
There is that idea, Josh, and some people think that that's a good idea. Who is standing up for those people?
Well, I mean, every, like, you know, Fox News and that sort of thing.
Yeah, well.
Those people? well, yeah, I mean, it was a fun night. I loved, speaking of Sean Penn, he, you know, gave the best picture away, and he totally set up the director of Birdman, who was also the director of 21 Grams, which Sean Penn was in. That's what he won for, I feel like. I think it was 21 Grams. He totally set that up because he said somebody, like, take away this, they had to give this guy a green card, somebody take away his green card or something, alluding to the fact that he was Mexican, which led the guy to then comment about being Mexican and make a bunch of statements that then, like, weird, like, conservative sites just, like, went on about. And you're like, Sean Penn totally set him up.
Yeah, well,
what an asshole.
What
a fucking asshole.
I hate when people get up and they talk. I don't like when women talk about women's rights. I don't like when Latinos talk about Latino rights.
Wow, like, just the way you said Latino was the most racist
thing. I fucking hate Latinos.
Oh my god, you've just ruined the show. The show's over now. The show is over. We could just talk about anything, because we're never coming back.
That guy is annoying as shit. He's annoying, and I'm not going to see Birdman because of that guy.
Well, it was great, so you're depriving yourself of that.
I really doubt it. You're talking about Batman was in it, and Ed Norton, a.k.a. Oscar-winning Ed...
It was about Birdman.
Oh, it was about Birdman. What does that even mean?
Well, because to me, also, there's that weird part of society. It's like Birdman was a shitty Hanna-Barbera cartoon that its relevance in culture now is now that it's associated with the Adult Swim version, which also starred Stephen Colbert was in that, as well as Gary Cole. And then now it's this Oscar-winning movie that's, like, was amazingly shot, was a good story. About in that world, in the world of Birdman, Birdman was, like, a major motion picture that spawned, like, four sequels. So it was, like, it was Batman.
Okay, so Batman is playing Batman.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
You gotta see it. But, you know, if you can ever get by your hatred of, you know, Latinos to see a movie made by one, I don't know. Sure, okay. Just to be clear, Jeff doesn't hate Latinos.
Josh, first of all, I think it's pretty clear that I was joking, and second of all, I don't think it matters if I wasn't joking.
That's true. That's true. No one cares. They're not nodding with you, but, you know, they're going to listen anyway for the insightful Better Call Saul commentary that we gave before. Now, as I was saying, you know,
I bet some dirty fucking Latinos are going to come into Better Call Saul and ruin this guy's life.
Oh, you said dirty. But now that we're talking about it, it's like, oh, wait, who are the main horrible, like, people that we're supposed to be afraid of in Better Call Saul at this point? Latino people. It's kind of like...
Tuco.
Yeah. That's not good. Not a good look, Terry Gilligan. I see why you set this in Albuquerque.
Who's Terry Gilligan?
Vince Gilligan, I'm sorry.
Is that like your...
I'm like combining that with Terry Gilliam,
who did
like Baron von Munchausen,
old ship from the
yeah.
Four times.
Yeah. Okay. So one last question, and then this is completely has nothing to do with anything we've talked about here. Who sucks a bigger dick, Drake or Big Sean?
Big Sean.
Okay. Why?
Because I like Drake.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, I understand. I understand that.
Why are you hating on Drake and Big Sean?
Because I was listening to I heard a Big Sean song today, and I've heard Drake songs. You know, like I've tried to listen to the Drake, and I listened to his songs, and I just can't stand them. I can't stand the whole Drake personality. I can't.
How about his Make It In song? Tuesday, like that song. It's funny because it's Tuesday today. That should be our playing song every week.
Well, that's gonna be the play out song.
Sweet.
Yeah. So. You don't like his, I hope you're happy now.
You don't like his remix?
I don't like anything either. I don't like his voice. I don't like. I don't like his the entire what. I don't like a Drake.
You don't like anything, though.
No, I like a lot of things.
I don't think you do. Name one thing that you like.
Well, I like you.
Not really.
I tolerate you.
You don't really like me.
I tolerate you.
You didn't talk to me for like a year.
Yeah, it's true.
If you liked me, that wouldn't have happened.
That's a good point. Okay, well, I like my dog.
Well, you love your dog.
I love my dog. That's true.
If your dog wasn't yours, would you like it?
Oh, I love him. I love him regardless. I like all dogs. Unless they're, like, trying to bite me.
Animals don't count. How about art? What's something in art that you like? What's a musician that you like that's popular? And don't say something that I've never heard of, because
it's popular.
Yes, popular.
That's a good. Well, I like Jimi Hendrix.
Oh my god.
I like the Beatles. The Beatles.
And thus brings an end to episode.
I like NWA.
12.
I like MF Doom. Wu-Tang. As far as sensitive guys, Common. The problem is Drake tries to be like two things at the same time. He's trying to be like he is sensitive, and then he's also trying to be a prick. And I think he's just a prick, but I also think he's a pussy, and that's what makes him like. That's what.
Yeah, but what do you care about his personality? What about,
because that's the rapper's persona, and that's what he's rapping about.
What about his songs? What about his lyrics?
I hate, there's too much fucking auto-tuning on anything. I hate his beats because he's using the trap beats, but he's like...
You know, if we were going to talk about rap and hip-hop, why did we even start talking about Better Call Saul? Why can't we just do an hour on rap?
Because that's what we're contractually obligated to do.
We don't have a contract.
We do. It's airtight. If we don't talk about some one thing and then piss off at least five different groups...
Did you get the Massey prenup? Can we do a show next week about Intolerable Cruelty, which is my favorite movie and also the most underrated movie of all time?
We can't. I haven't seen that movie, and I don't plan on watching it the next week. I'm sorry.
Why? You have a whole week to watch it.
Yeah, but, you know, I got things I need to do.
You don't have things you need to do.
Yeah, I need to see Boyhood now.
You don't need to see Boyhood.
I still haven't seen The Winter Soldier, Captain America. We got Avengers coming out in May. You know?
We need a third person in this podcast. We need a mediator.
I know, we're too much alike.
No, we're not. You and I have absolutely nothing in common. That's the problem. I don't even understand what you're saying. We're speaking two different languages.
All I'm saying is I need you to admit that the dick that Drake can suck is bigger than the one that Big Sean can suck.
Why do you gotta put down sucking dick so much? What are you, some kind of homophobe?
I'm not.
Personally, I admire the ability to suck a dick.
Well, I do too, at the same time. Like, well, that's where I need to like make it clear. I'm impressed with how big of a dick Drake can suck.
He's got a big mouth.
Like, he's not Little Kim, but he's like, he's getting there. All right. Well, now that we pissed off everyone, Can we make a list?
Let me say something about the Catholics and about the Worldwide Wrestling Entertainment Federation. Oh, by the way, Pacquiao.
No, everybody hates him now anyway.
How do we even not talk about Pacquiao and Mayweather? Can we do like a live show for that fight?
Sure. I mean, I'm sure.
Can Justin and Brad broadcast a live podcast?
No.
Is that even possible?
No.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we're not there. Who do you think we are?
Because we should watch the shit out of that fight. We should watch the shit out of that fight and live blog it. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, I gotta feel like if you could do that, people would have done that. So I assume that it's probably illegal. And also, I forgot that's even happening until you said it.
Well, you don't have to show the fight. We just have to have us talking while we're watching the fight.
And I hate watching people fight.
They're not really fighting. They're pugilists. Yeah. These guys aren't going to touch each other.
Yeah, but I also hate Mayweather. I hate everything.
Then you
especially
should move to Pacquiao. Everyone hates Mayweather. That's why Mayweather
won the fight. But I don't care. But even just knowing that like Mayweather is getting money for doing this shit, I'm just like, fuck that guy.
He's only getting $120 million.
Who cares? He's like Mike Tyson. It's like, we're really just bringing out Mike Tyson now? We're just bringing him out? Like, the fact that he fought after he bit off Evander Holyfield's ear is amazing. And the only reason they did it is because they could get money because he was the one fighting.
But if he didn't fight after he bit off Evander Holyfield's ear, then they never would have been. He never would have had his own Adult Swim cartoon.
He totally would have. He would have still gone on in pop culture history.
No, there's no cartoon without the crazy.
But he
couldn't see the big picture, man. That's your problem.
I'm seeing the big picture. He still would have been crazy enough to be included in The Hangover, which is funny because I thought about that today because I was thinking about the part in Journey's song Faithfully, when the drums start coming in, they start doing those drum rolls.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you hear a song like this and then you're like, hear a song like In the Air Tonight by Phil Collins, and it's like, why is one, like, people must play air drums to both these songs, like, quite a bit. Like, but In the Air Tonight is just, like, super awesome because it comes in and it's intense.
Yeah, it's an intense.
Yeah, but the other one is just like, eh. The other one's basically being the Drake of like air drums compared to the.
So awesome at air drums.
Yeah, that's it.
Is that me?
Yes. Okay. Well, now I think we've said enough.
Wait, did we do the lightning round?
Yeah, we did. I didn't announce it, so then we just talked about everything in the lightning round for 50 minutes apiece.
Okay. Not really lightning-esque.
No, well, you know what? It was like that slow lightning.
Yeah. That's the worst kind. It hurts the most.
Yeah, because it's...
So for us, it was like the most entertaining kind of lightning.
Interesting. All right, well, we are... I think we're done here. Tune in next week. We'll probably do this again. Who knows who we will offend next week? Probably the same people.
We'll probably get fired. This is probably our last show. If it is our last show, I just want to say it's been a great ride.
It has been.
Even though there was like 2 years gap from the last show to the last show. I thought it was fun.
No, I thought this has been a wonderful experience.
And you know what else, Josh? I love you, even though I hate everything that you like.
Ditto, baby. Alright, so, for Jeffrey Machado, I'm Josh Richer, and see you next week.
Can't believe you said ditto, like in Ghost.
Well, I could have said, I know, but, I mean, I'm not that badass.
Well, I'm just going to cry myself to sleep. Goodbye, everybody.
Got the club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut and she choosy. Club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut and she choosy. Club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut and she choosy. Club going up.
about your girl and the color she chooses.
Squad going up. Nobody flipping packs now. I just did three in a row. Them shows is back to back to back now. Put the world on a sound. You know, party in the weekend. Ain't got no motherfucking time. The party on the weekend. Tell Jello, bring the juice. We about to get lit. Fill the room up with some things. One night off and this is it.
Always working OT. Overtime and not all time. Shit is crazy back home. It kills me that I'm not around.
I think we getting too deep. Shit I'm talking might be too true. Upstairs I got Zans in the Advil bottle. I don't take them shits but you do. So I got them for you.
I don't need the pills. I'm just gonna have another drink.
And when I'm putting work in on the weekend, I look back on this and think how we had the club going up.
On a Tuesday, got your girl in the cut, she choosing. Club going up. On a Tuesday, got your girl in the cut, she choosing. Club going up. Tuesday, got your girl in the cut, she Tuesday, club going up. On a Tuesday, got your girl in the cut, she Tuesday, working Monday night. On the corner flipping hard, made at least 3,000. On the boulevard, I've been working graveyard. Shifts every other weekend. Ain't got no fucking time to party on the weekend. I've been flipping in the house, making jugs on the highway. I've been riding out of state, making money like my way. I don't think that I should dance. I'm just gonna have another drink. You know my Molly pink. I got the loudest of the loud. You know my gas stink. My P.O. think I'm in the house. Don't give a damn about what she think. Got the club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut, she Tuesday. Club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut, she Tuesday. Club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut, she Tuesday. Club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut, she Tuesday. Club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut, she Tuesday. Club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut, she Tuesday. Got the club going up.